Well, amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, handbell guys. Boy, this looks good out here tonight. We got a herd, don't we? Well, praise the Lord. First of all, thank you all for being such a blessing to me. I can't believe it's Wednesday already. It's amazing how fast time passes whenever I come to Branch. I always love the folks. I've loved y'all for years, and so it's a joy and a privilege for me to be here. Thank you so much for being such a blessing to me this week. And thank the Lord for allowing me to come and get to know you guys first time over 20 years ago. So anyway, I'm excited and apprehensive also. Before I came in, my wife texted me and said that my daughter was at 4 centimeters. She's at the hospital. And so before the night is done, I'll probably be a pawpaw again. So anyhow, I'm excited about it. I've been praying for mama and baby all night. So anyhow, let me share a few scripture with you. First of all, you don't turn to this one, but in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30, the scripture says, "There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord." That means that all of the wisdom of the world, if it's arrayed against Jesus Christ, then the scripture that says, professing themselves to be wise, they have become fools. All the wisdom of the world can't explain away who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. They can stand in their wisdom and say, Jesus is not real. They can all shout at the top of their lungs that He was not the Son of God. But I know what happened in my heart and life 36 years ago. Amen. Amen. All the counselors can't counsel it away. Because I know that what Jesus did in my heart and life was real. Everybody with me? I know it's real. I've had people, when I was a young Christian, I'd be out on the streets witnessing. And they would have some really good arguments that I didn't know how to counter. But at the end of the conversation, I would tell the folks, you know, you say all that, but it doesn't change the fact that Jesus came to live in my heart, that He set me free from the bondage to the fear of death. He set me free from sin, that Jesus has done a work in my life and filled me with His love and with His peace and with His joy. And no amount of worldly wisdom, no amount of counseling can change what Jesus has done in my heart and life. Amen? Amen. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm not planning to preach all night. Just 2 or 3 hours. I'm kidding. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." He's a new person, a new creation. I'm not the same man I used to be. When God saved me, He changed me. He changed my desires. He changed my want-tos. He changed my future. He changed everything about me. When Jesus saved me, He changed me. I've heard folks talk about how they're a recovering alcoholic. I'm not a recovering alcoholic. When God saved me, He changed me. I'm not an alcoholic anymore. Amen? Amen. When God saved me, I'm not a drug addict anymore. Amen? Amen? Amen. I'm not a recovering drug addict or a recovering alcoholic. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation, a new man. I'm not the same man I used to be in. And you know, it doesn't matter if the whole world says, well, that's just every now and then that happens. Y'all hear me? All the wisdom of the world can't explain away what Jesus does. And the Scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Anybody that's ever been born again genuinely is a new person. They're not the same person they used to be. And if they are, they missed something somewhere. Everybody with me? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. I don't do the same things I used to do. All those old desires are gone. I don't do the same stuff. You know, my old friends that used to hang out with me, and we'd cuss and tell jokes and go out and get drunk and party and do all the things we did. All that was gone away with. I didn't want to do it anymore. I went to a few parties after I got saved. I didn't get drunk, but I'd be sitting there and I couldn't stand it. Man, I was miserable being around a bunch of people who were drunk and getting high. I wasn't comfortable with it. Why? Because I was a new man and old things were passed away. And boy, I tell you what, before I got saved, I hated to go to church. I did not, it didn't mean anything to me. But all things became new, amen? And I started going to church and all of a sudden I met the sweetest, I thought Baptists were the meanest folks on the face of the earth. Some of them are. Meanest folks I ever met in my life are Southern Baptist. The sweetest folks I've ever met in my life are Southern Baptist. All of a sudden I went and I saw folks that loved me. They loved me just like I was. They didn't tell me I needed to get a haircut. They didn't tell me I needed to do anything. They just loved me. Amen? Just like I was. The same way Jesus loves me. And I found out that there are folks that are saved in the churches. It's not all a bunch of hypocrites. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And you know what? That next phrase and that next verse, it says, and all things are of God. All of a sudden, I started gauging everything I did by how does this affect my relationship with Jesus? What does this have to do to make me know Jesus more? How can I glorify Christ? All things are of God. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. And it says, if any man. Is that the way your life is? Are you in Christ? Do you know the same Jesus I know? It is earth shattering. Heaven shaking. Devils were quaking when Jesus saved me. It's the biggest thing that ever happened in my life. One of the deacons in the church said, he'll get over it. How can you get over it? It's the biggest thing that's ever happened in my life. And any person that comes into the presence of a holy God and they get saved, they never get over it. It's the biggest thing that'll ever happen to a man. Here I was on the road to hell doing dirty work and all of a sudden I'm on the road to heaven and I'm loving Jesus. My whole life was turned around. And I am not the exception. Because the Scripture says, if any man or any woman be in Christ, they are a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God. Listen. Who has reconciled us to Himself. When I got saved, I was reconciled to God. I was separate before. I was separated by my sin. God's Word says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. I was separated from God by my sins. But when I was saved, I was reconciled to God. I was brought back into the family of God. Or I was brought into the family of God. Everybody with me? A new man. A new creation. New desires. New thoughts. A new will. Everything was new. I was reconciled to Jesus. All of a sudden I had a peace about where I was going to go when I die. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 15 says that Jesus came to deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Before I got saved, I'd have a bad trip on LSD and I'd get scared I was going to die. I'd get in a tight spot doing business with some dope dealers or something. I'd get scared that I was going to die. But after I got saved, man, I'm not scared to die. What they going to do? Send me to heaven? Man, I'm going home. Hallelujah. I'm going to die one of these days. Amen? And I'm excited about it. Because I know where I'm going now. I've been reconciled. Now listen. It's so good. Let me read another verse out of that same chapter in Proverbs. Verse 28 of chapter 21. A false witness shall perish. Or somebody who fakes being a Christian. A false witness, they say they're saved, but they're not. And they know in their heart of hearts that they're not. A false witness shall perish. Listen, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. When I heard from God, when He drew me with cords of love. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me, drawing. And when the Holy Spirit drew me, when Jesus knocked on my heart's door and spoke to my heart, the man that heareth speaketh constantly. I can't shut up about Jesus since I've been saved. Most people never win anybody to Jesus. Most so-called Christians. Most never even try. How can you be quiet about an earth-shattering experience where you were completely and totally changed? I've been given the ministry, according to the Word, of reconciliation. Every person that's saved, every person that's been reconciled, has been given the ministry of reconciliation. You know, I asked a question one time. I said, you know, my life has been hard. It has. I lost my oldest boy. I've had cancer. I've had pneumonia more times than I can remember. Back when I was plumbing, I had all kinds of weird diseases. Cytomegalovirus, virus, Epstein-Barr virus. You get that from working around sewers. That's why plumbing is such a dangerous business, because you get sick. And I've had all kinds of ailments. I had a brain tumor that God healed. I mean, I've had a pretty tough life. And I said, God, why? When you saved me, why didn't you save me and take me home? Why did you leave me here to suffer the way I've suffered? Why did you leave me here to be sick? Why did you leave me here to experience the absolute agony of losing my boy? Why, God? Because I've got a ministry of reconciliation. That's why I'm here. Whether I'm a preacher or not, God wants me to win people to Jesus. You know, I see a lot more people saved out on the streets and out in the community witnessing than I do when I go preach in churches. 594 this past summer when y'all sent y'all's folks to Memphis and the folks from First Baptist Parish came. 594 folks that were hungry for the Word of God. 594 people that were waiting for somebody to come put their arm around their neck and say, "Hey man, I love you and you're all right with me." God saved me, changed me, turned my life upside down, and He made me a soul winner. Because he that heareth speaketh constantly. My mama told me, said, "Boy, can't you talk about anything but Jesus?" And I said, "What do I want to, Mama? He loved me. He saved me. He made me a new man. He gave me a home in heaven. Why do I want to talk about anybody else?" When I met my wife, Susan, my older brother said, "Can't you talk about anybody but Susan?" I said, "Why would I want to, Earl Glenn? Man, I love her. I was in love." We talk about what we love, right? I love Jesus. I'm going to talk about Him. He that heareth. Let me give you the Louisiana version. If you ever heard from Jesus, you can't shut up. I can't shut up. I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And then he explains it in the next verse. He says, to wit, or meaning this, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. That means that Jesus wasn't kicking them. And that night He didn't kick me. He accepted me just like I was. And it's not our job to go out and kick folks and say, "Oh, you sorry heathen, you need to get saved." That's not what we do. We go out and put our arm around our neck and say, "Man, I love you. And Jesus loves you and He wants you to be with Him. He's done everything that needed to be done so that you can be with Him. You don't have to go to a devil's hell. Hell wasn't prepared for you. It's prepared for the devil and his angels, not for you. Heaven's prepared for you." To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing unto them their trespasses, and hath given unto us the word of reconciliation. The verse before that says He's given us a ministry. He's given us a job. If you've been reconciled, you've got a ministry. And then it says He's given us the word of reconciliation. What's He talking about? The tool to do it with. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He's given us the Word to share. People aren't saved because I go out and talk real sweet to them. They're saved when I present the Scripture to them. Amen? And when I do, the Holy Spirit of God takes it and pierces their heart and draws them with cords of love and saves them. Girl Maggie the other night who was here, she gave her testimony. She said God spoke to her heart. She said, "And it shattered my heart." I like that. Her heart was hard, and the Holy Spirit of God just shattered it. Tore down every excuse she ever had. God spoke to her. Now, remember, there's no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Whatever God says is the truth. And you can argue all the day long, but it won't change what Jesus has done for those who have genuinely been saved. And those who are genuinely saved, they're a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. All things are of God. They've been given the ministry of reconciliation. They've been given the word of reconciliation. If you're here tonight and you're genuinely saved, you talk about Jesus. I preach a revival message sometimes on having a scriptural testimony. There's one point that usually makes most folks mad at me. I say it's unscriptural to say you're saved if you don't witness. Billy Graham said, if you're not a witness, if you're not a soul winner, you forfeited your right to be called a Christian. That's what we do. That's what saved people do. If you've heard from God, you talk about Him all the time. You can't shut up. So what does it mean to be saved? How is a person genuinely saved? What do I have to do to be saved, Brother Ronnie? What do I have to do to be changed? Now, I'm not going to heaven because I preach. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a member of a church. I'm not going to heaven because I've been baptized. I'm not going to heaven because I prayed a prayer. Although I prayed a prayer when I asked Jesus to come into my heart. That's not why I'm going to heaven. Let me tell you why I'm going to heaven. Look in verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God made Jesus to be my sin. When Jesus hung on the cross, He became my sin. And when I came to Jesus, I became His righteousness. 36 years ago, when I knelt down in front of that couch, there was blood on it, bullet holes in the wall and ceiling and the floor. I knelt down next to that couch, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and life. God took all my sin, past, present, and future, and laid it over on Jesus on the cross. And He took all of the righteousness of Jesus and laid it over on me. And I'm going to heaven not because I'm any good or ever will be any good. I'm going to heaven because Jesus is good. And 36 years ago, God clothed me with that righteousness. Does that make sense? And no matter what denomination a person is, no matter where they were brought up, no matter if they were sprung on dope or booze or weed or whatever, anybody that makes it to heaven, that has to have happened in their life. It has to have happened for a person to be a new man, to be a new creature. That's what causes it. So if you're here and you say, Brother Ronnie, that's never happened to me. It's never happened to me. I want it to. I want that to happen to me, Brother Ronnie. I want to be a new man. I want my life to matter to Jesus. I want to serve Jesus. I want to be what Jesus wants me to be, Brother Ronnie. That's your heart's desire. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will fellowship with you and you'll have fellowship with me. Knowing Jesus has been the absolute joy of my life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I love You. And I thank You for loving me. God, I don't deserve anything. And yet, God, You gave everything for me. You've loved me with all the love that You have. You bankrupted heaven to come to earth. Lord Jesus, you love me. And God, there's not a person in this room that you don't love equally so. There's not a person in this room that's their heart is so wicked that you don't love them. Your Bible says, behold, the Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it will not hear. And no matter who we are, if we'll pray, you'll hear it. You'll reach down and pull us up from where we've sunk, and you'll save us. You'll change us. You'll make us into new men and women. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. You're here and you say, Brother Ronnie, I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want Him to wash away all my sin. I want Him to take it on Himself on the cross. I want Him to cover me with His righteousness. I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to be a new man or a new woman. If that's your heart's desire, then pray a simple prayer with me. Now remember, just a prayer doesn't mean anything. God sees your heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance, the Bible says, but God seeth the heart. And if you mean this with all your heart, God will save you. Pray with me now. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. I invite You now to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Take all my sin, past, present, and future, upon Yourself on the cross. And Lord Jesus, cover me now with Your righteousness. Save me, Lord Jesus.